Yes. Good morning. How are you today? Good. I'm just stalling for time because I forgot my iPad thing and I can't. Thank you, Bryson. Okay, we'll start this over. Good morning. Just act like that didn't happen. All right. So everybody got plans tomorrow, holiday weekend, right? Yes, I can see you guys are very enthusiastic. My kids asked me, they said, why don't we have school on Monday? I was like, well, it's a holiday weekend. They said, well, what's the holiday? I was like, it's Labor Day. They said, what's it for? I was like, labor. I don't know. I should look it up. And so we looked it up and had a discussion about it. Yes, I'm just glad that we get to spend some time with our families tomorrow. One of the things that I really like to do with my sons is take them shopping whenever they have their own money. The key being when they have their own money. I like to take them to the store and then watch them purchase something that they've thought about. Or one of our sons, he likes to do chores around the house and he always asks us, he like picks out something, it's like it's $20 and he does, what chore can I do to get $20? Like that kind of chore doesn't exist in this house. Like there's nothing you can do that's gonna earn you $20 at one time. Like that ain't happening. But a little while back, I took both of my older sons to the store for them to pick something out with their own money. And we go to the back of Target, because that's the store that we go to when they got money and want to spend it. And once we get to the toy section, then really the two different personalities come into play. One of the kids, I won't name names through this, but one of the kids, he just grabs kind of the first toy that he sees in his price range. He's like, I want this. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's get it. Let's go. And then the other son, he goes to the first aisle and he kind of just looks at it. And then he inspects every single toy in the entire aisle. And he kind of looks around, he picks them up, and then he inspects each one, and then goes to the next one, and goes to the next one, and goes to the next one. And after about 20 minutes of this, he realizes, oh, there's another aisle of toys next to this one. So he walks over to that aisle, and then he inspects every single toy on the whole aisle. And then after about 20 minutes, he's like, there's a third aisle? And he goes to the next aisle. So after about an hour and a half of this, I'm not exaggerating, well maybe I am, but I don't really know because time is like still when you're just waiting on your kid to make a decision. I'm like, I can't take this anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, making decisions can be difficult. And making decision in that moment with so many options and so many choices, it can be a hard thing to do. So I'm like, all right, bud, you got 60 seconds to make a decision. And if you don't have something picked out, when the 60 seconds is over, you don't get anything. Like, the pressure's on, because we gotta go, there's things to do, like, we've been here long enough, you gotta make a decision. He's like, oh, okay. And so then, you know, I time it on my watch, and then inevitably, we get all the way down, and I'm like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then he's like, yes, I got it, you know, right when we get to one. And then we take the toy to the front of the store, and as we're walking to the checkout counters, there's another whole aisle with like baseball and basketball cards, and then the whole process starts over again. It's like, because there's now new things he has to inspect and look at. He's not sure if he wants that, and I want to be a gracious dad, so I let him make the decision. So I've learned a few things. I learned a few lessons in why I tell you this story. The first lesson that I learned is mom takes the kids to the store from now on. She can deal with that. No, really what I did learn is that if I can get this son to decide what he wants before we ever get to the store, then we can just walk in, grab it, buy it, and walk out. And so they have this thing called the web, you know, a website. I just have him go on there and look, and he can pick it out. Because if he makes the decision before he gets to the store, then he's more productive and more efficient with his time. You know, throughout this series, we've been talking about how we use our words. That our words hold the power of life and death. And it's our choice which words we use. And we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks how to use God-honoring words that speak life into other people's lives. But when we get in the tense situation, when we get into the pressure is on and now it's tense and something is taking place, it's still up to us to make the right choice. Well, if we've made the decision to use life-giving words before we ever enter into the tense situation, then that situation goes so much smoother and better. Because it's hard to make a choice in the moment to speak life into a situation, to de-escalate instead of escalate the situation. Because when you're in the tense situation, saying something hurtful really seems like a good choice in that moment. It's like, well, now we're in it now, and so now I'm gonna say something, it's gonna hurt your feelings. It seems like the good choice. We have to make the decision before we ever get there. Proverbs Chapter 18, verse 21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now, in the first week of our series, we talked about this, the power of our words and how they really do hold the power of life and death. Then the second week, we talked about how that words are an overflow of our heart. So we looked at some ways to do some heart checks each night to examine our heart, to examine where we're at in that moment. And then last week, we really talked about how to speak life into situations, how to be helpful in healing with our words instead of hurtful, causing division. We can either hurt or divide, or we can help and heal with the words that we use. Now today we're going to talk about something that I think probably all of us really struggle with, and it's how we can help others with our words, how we can use our words to help other people become more like Jesus. What we're talking about today is speaking the truth in love. Telling somebody what they need to hear in an attitude of love, even when we really don't want to, because it's uncomfortable. I mean, it's uncomfortable helping someone grow to become more and more like Christ. It's uncomfortable to speak the truth and a harsh truth that they need to hear in the moment. You know, we've all said things that we shouldn't. We've all said things that we wish we shouldn't, wish we didn't say, and we've had to repent of those and ask forgiveness. But today we're going to be talking about some things that we should have said but didn't. Or maybe even now, there's some things that you should say but haven't yet. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking to them about how to be unified as a church, how to come together and be unified, and this is what he writes. I'll read it in my notes since it's... Okay, there we go. He says, Then you will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, he's talking about when we become mature, when we grow in our walk, and all. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's the goal. I mean, if you're a Jesus follower, it's one of the things that you've committed to. As a Jesus follower, you've committed to grow more and more like Jesus. That's what we all want. We want to become more like the Son of God. One of the ways that we become more and more like Jesus is when someone who cares about us, who loves us, who knows what they need to say, who knows what we need in our life to help us become like Jesus, they speak the truth to us in love. When they take the time to speak to us about what we need. This is when we've invited someone into our life to share things that we don't want to hear. When we've invited someone in who cares about us, who loves us, and we've given them freedom to tell us the things we need to hear, even if we don't want to hear them. We need people in our lives to help us see what we've missed, to draw attention to areas that need attention. You know, the Bible teaches us that our pride and our sin blinds us. You know, we all have blind spots. You know, I'm not going to get into the whole science of it, but you could Google it later this week. You literally have a blind spot in both of your eyes. There's a part of your eye that doesn't see anything out of it, and it's a blind spot. You also have blind spots in your cars, which some of you are made very aware when you hit that person as you were trying to get into their lane. Or when I was honking at you last Saturday, I was like, "What are you doing?" We all have blind spots. And so one of the ways that we are a community of Jesus followers together growing to be more and more like Christ is whenever we can point out to each other our blind spots in love. To speak the truth in love. Another book of the New Testament, Paul's writing to another church, and he's talking about this whole idea of helping each other grow, of speaking the truth in love. And he says this in Colossians chapter 3, 16. He says, "Let the word of the anointed one richly inhabit your lives. With all wisdom, teach, counsel, and instruct one another." You know, these words, teach, counsel, and instruct, in other translations, they are correct, warn, direct one another. Now, we're going to look at three things kind of right from this verse on how we do this, speaking the truth in love to one another. How we receive it, how we give it, and all that. How do we speak the truth in love? The first thing, you can fill in your notes right there. Be filled with God's word. How do we speak the truth in love? We're to be filled with God's Word. Be filled with God's Word. Paul said, let the Word of Jesus, let the Word of the Anointed One richly inhabit your lives. Be filled with God's love. So, when we're talking about speaking the truth in love, it's never to be based on our own emotions. It's not to be based on our own offenses. Speaking the truth in love isn't to be based on our own legalistic set of religious rules that we think is the right way. It's to be based on God's Word. Let the Word of Christ richly inhabit your lives. When we're going to speak the truth in love to someone, it's got to be based on His Word. And the next thing, you can fill this in, it's to be done in relationship. Speaking the truth in love is to be done in relationship. Paul says, with one another. This isn't one person in some place of like spiritual superiority saying, here's what you need to work on, and then not letting anyone do that for them. It's to be done mutually, in relationship with others. The next thing, how do we speak the truth in love? It's to be done with wisdom and grace. With wisdom and with grace. Now, when we say it's to be done with wisdom, when we're talking about speaking the truth in love, having a difficult conversation with someone, it's not to be done impulsively, not to be done recklessly, but instead thoughtfully and purposefully. You know, our tendency is not to do that. Our tendency is to do the opposite. Our tendency is to speak the truth in anger, is to speak the truth in irritation, is to speak the truth in bitterness or self-righteous indignation. The Bible says, no, no, no. When we speak the truth in love to someone, it's to be done with grace. Gracefully, kindly, to help them become better, not to point out some flaw in their life to make them feel worse. But that's our tendency sometimes, like, I know what's wrong with you, and I'm going to tell you all about it. And I want you to feel bad about how bad you are. That's not what this is talking about. Speaking the truth in love is with wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, he lays out what does wisdom look like, the wisdom that's from heaven. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, it's pure. When we speak the truth in love to someone, if it's not pure, then we should probably rethink it, because wisdom from heaven is, first of all, pure. Then, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So if we're to speak the truth in love to someone using wisdom, then we need to kind of, we can use this as a litmus test to see if what we're going to say is actually wise. Because if it's not one of these things, if it's not peace-loving, if it's not considerate, if it's not submissive, if it's not pure, if it's not impartial, if it's not sincere, we might need to reevaluate it. We might need to just wait for a while or even reevaluate the whole thing together. You know, this series that we talk about the power of our words, this is one of the most important things as Jesus followers we can do for one another, but we get it so wrong. And we either get it wrong and we hurt others, or we get it wrong and we just don't allow it to happen. You know, my question, a couple questions for you to consider is, when was the last time someone did this for you? When was the last time that someone you cared about, someone that loves you, sat you down and kindly said something along the lines of, yeah, I've really struggled with this in the past, and someone spoke to me and helped me, and as I'm in a relationship with you, I can see that you're struggling in this area. Here's something that's taking place, and I want to help you, and I love you, so I want to talk to you about it so that you can grow, so that we can grow together. When was the last time someone did that for you? Has it been a really long time? And if it's been a while, we got to ask ourselves a few questions. Why is that? Because you got this whole life and faith thing figured out? You don't need any help at all? Well, then you're not allowed at this church, because no perfect people are allowed here. Or is it simply because we haven't invited anyone into relationship? You know, I desperately need people to tell me what's wrong with me and so that I can help and grow, because I have blind spots. And if you don't believe me, just ask my wife. She can tell you. She can probably list a list for you. When was the last time someone did this? Maybe it's because you haven't invited someone into that kind of relationship. Or is it because those close to you know if they were to talk about anything that you need, any area you need to grow in, that you wouldn't receive it? And instead, you would ridicule them or even alienate them and stop being in relationship with them. The next question would be, when was the last time you did this for someone else? I don't mean you got in someone's face and said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong and here's what's going on and you need to... When was the last time you gracefully, thoughtfully, and purposely said, I love you and I care about you and I want you to get better, so let's talk? When was the last time you did this for someone else? You know, in the Old Testament, there's a prophet named Ezekiel, and his whole job was to hear from God and then deliver God's word to the people. That was his job. He was called a prophet. The Old Testament, that's what prophets were. That's what they did. They heard from God and they delivered God's message to the people. And then one of the things it says in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6, says, but if the watchman sees the enemy coming, you know, a watchman being placed on like a wall in a city, their job is to sit and to watch the enemy, or to watch and protect it. If the enemy starts to approach, they sound the alarm and say, hey, the enemy's coming, let's get ready to fight, let's get ready to defend. He says, if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. If the watchman sees the enemy but doesn't respond, doesn't sound the alarm, doesn't say, hey, the enemy's coming, get ready, then the watchman is responsible for their captivity. You know, we are to be watchmen for those in our lives who we care about, who we love. To watch and say, hey, the enemy is approaching. I can see the enemy is attacking your life in this area. And if we see that the enemy is attacking someone that we care about and we love, we're to sound the alarm. And if we don't, we can be responsible for some of the mess that they're in. Because God has placed us in relationship with one another for a reason. To help each other become more and more like Jesus. Now, just a quick side note. There are some people who actually, that like, they like to do this. You know, there's not a lot of them. But some people is like, you know, oh, the pastor said I'm going to talk to somebody. All right, I'm going to talk to that guy Monday. I'm going to talk to her on Tuesday. I'm going to talk to that guy Wednesday, Thursday. I got Friday covered. Calendar's full, baby. I got this week. You know, I would venture to say and be so bold and I think correct to say if someone enjoys doing this, you're doing it wrong. That's not the spirit of what we're talking about. Most of the time when we meet with someone and as a watchman, we speak the truth in love to them. Most of the time, it's done with a very heavy heart. Because we care about them, we love them, we want to see them grow, we want to help them, but it's not something we do flippantly, it's something that we do purposefully. I know in my life, whenever this is done best, you know, whenever people in my life have done this best for me, I didn't even realize it was happening in the moment. Because instead of feeling, judged or condemned, I feel encouraged. I feel like someone has helped me get better because they care about me. You know, I have a friend named Jonathan. I've known him for over 10 years now, and we worked together for a while, and he's one of these friends in my life that we became really close, and we're still very close, even though we haven't lived in the same state for like 6 years now, and we're still very close, and so he's one of these people that has spoken the truth in love to me a lot over the years, and as I was preparing for this and talking about this today, this wasn't like, oh, I'm so excited to speak this message this week and to tell you all how to tell people how to grow. But as I was thinking about this, there's a few instances that came to mind. And one of them was when Jonathan sat me down when Brooke and I were first in ministry in doing this. And we were talking, we'd become friends. And he sat me down and just, I felt like we were just friends hanging out. And he's like, hey, Nathan, like I can really tell that you love people. Like you deeply care for people. Like you really love people. And I was like, thanks, man. Like I do. Like I really love people. I love doing this ministry thing. And he's like, you know what would really help other people know how much you love them? Is whenever they were in a conversation with you, if you would really look them in the eye and smile and with your face tell them that you're listening to them. Because people like to be listened to and they like to be heard. I think if you were to do this, like people would really know how much more you care about them. And I was like, oh man, like that's such good advice. Like that's awesome. Thank you. Like I appreciate that. And then, you know, later on I realized like that dude was rebuking me. Like I was not listening to people well. And he was totally right. He was 100% correct. I wasn't. I'd get so wrapped up in what I was doing. I was going from this task to that task to this and that. And if what you were doing didn't concern my area and what I cared about, then I didn't really listen very well. And effectively, there's people that would even talk to Jonathan because they knew we were close. They're like, is that Nathan? Is he just a jerk? Is that just who he is? And he's like, nah, man, he's nice. Like, he loves people. He's like, well, not me. And then he talked to me about this. I'm like, oh, man, I should start doing this and begin to listen to people and look them in the eye. I have another friend named Ricky that I've known for a very long time. And even it was a couple years ago, we were on the phone, and he just stopped me in the middle of the conversation. He's like, Nathan, I'm a little worried about you right now. I was like, oh, wow, like, what's going on? He said, I'm hearing you say some things that I heard you say a few years back when you were going through a really dark time. And I'm hearing those same kind of things. You're saying them right now. He said, I think you're going through a cycle. You know, we do this. We go through cycles in life. 18-month, 2-year, 3-year, even 7-year cycles in our life. And the only people that can help us with that are people that have journeyed with us through the whole thing, because they've seen it in our lives. He immediately called attention to it. And then I began to work on it. I was like, yeah, you're right. I know, you're right. I was doing that. You know, another friend of mine, Ryan, I was talking with him, and I was just explaining to him that I kind of rushed into something. I was like, dude, like, I rushed into this. I wish I would have waited. I was like, man, crap. Like, I should have just waited. I feel like if I would have waited a few more weeks or something, this would have been better off. And he, one of these moments, he's like, Nathan, do you think the Lord is trying to teach you something right now? And I'm like, well, obviously he is if you're going to ask me this question. So, you know, what are you hearing? What are you hearing me say? And he's like, well, 4 or 5 times in the last 6 months, you've said you wish you would have waited, but you rushed into something. And I was like, you know, like, I had prayed a year before that. Like, God, show me some areas in my life that I need to work on. I need to grow to be a better leader and a better husband. And God was trying to show it to me, and I just wasn't even seeing it. And Ryan goes, I think God's trying to teach you patience. And I was like, you are so right. Immediately, I applied that. There was something other decision I was trying to make, and I decided, I just felt like God said to wait. And there's a few instances right after that that God really blessed our family because we waited when we should have waited. But I would have never known that if I didn't have a friend who said, Nathan, maybe I would have figured it out eventually, but it would have taken me a lot longer. Like, who knows, you know? Maybe God would have had to do something really big of like, you're an idiot, Nathan. Would you just wait? I'm trying to teach you something. We need people in our lives that will speak the truth in love to help us grow, to help us get better. Here's the deal. I am so far from where I need to be. And because of that, I need people in my life to help me. You are so far from where you need to be. You are messed up. And if you don't think you are, just ask anyone in your family. They'll tell you. You are messed up. And because I love you and care about you, I'm going to tell you too, you're messed up. You need help. That's why we're here. That's why we're in a community of Jesus followers trying to get better, trying to grow to become more and more like Christ. Now, in the New Testament books of Corinthians, Paul models how to do this really well. He models throughout these chapters because he speaks the truth in love to these people. He tells them things they need to hear. There's actually one whole section where he says, you think you're doing something good, but it's not good. Even people who do not follow Jesus at all would not do this. You need to stop. So we're going to look at some things. How do we do that? How do we speak the truth in love? We're going to look at a little test before we enter into these conversations. A little heart check. Before I go use my words to help someone, sit first and evaluate and do a little heart check. The first thing, before we speak the truth in love, the first question we should ask ourselves, is my motive to help or to hurt? Is my motive to help them or to hurt them? Is my motive to help or hurt? You know, sometimes we've waited so long to speak the truth in love to someone that our heart has become really hurt by their actions. And it's so hurt that our goal turns to no longer help, but to hurt them. We go from, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to hurt their feelings, to, I'm going to say something and it better hurt their feelings. And we make that transition over time. But we need to ask ourselves that question, is my motive to help or is it to hurt? Am I saying this because I want to help them become more like Christ? Or am I saying this because it's going to make me feel better? What are our motives? You know, Paul makes his motives known to the Corinthians over and over and over again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. I'm not writing these things to shame. Our goal should never be to shame anyone, but to warn them. This needs to be the spirit that we have towards others. Because so many times in these conversations, we respond the way that we're approached. If we are approached by someone who's vulnerable, we respond with vulnerability. If we are approached by someone who's speaking harshly and attacking, then we get our defenses up and we're ready to attack back. If someone approaches us with kindness and gentleness, We respond with kindness, gentleness, and we're so much more receptive. So first, we check our motives, and then the second thing we begin to ask ourselves is, what will my tone communicate? What will the tone that I'm using with my voice communicate? You know, a number of years ago, Brooke and I went to this marriage conference over a weekend. And one of the things I remember so profoundly from that weekend is they said, your tone communicates more than your words. And so when you're in relationship with your spouse, and you might be saying one thing with your words, but your tone and your attitude is saying something else. And your spouse always picks up on not what you're saying as much as how you're saying it. And the same is true in these kind of conversations. We're helping each other grow. We pick up on how we're saying, is my motive to help or to hurt? Is my tone going to communicate love and grace, or is my tone going to communicate judgment or condemnation? Next question, ask ourselves before we have these kind of conversations. Am I building walls or building bridges? Am I out to build walls to keep people in and out, or to build bridges to help relationships grow and become better? Am I building walls or building bridges? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 through 9, Paul writes, I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now, I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is painful. Even when it's done from a place of love, of care and sincerity with grace, it can cause some pain, but if that pain leads to repentance, leads to us changing our ways for the better, then it's worth it. Then it's worth it. We have to invite someone. Not everyone. You know, and this is not done between strangers. This is done in relationship. This is not done between casual acquaintances. This is done with people that we're journeying through life together with in relationship. We have to invite people into that kind of relationship with us so that we can grow to become more and more like Christ. Someone that has the motive to help us, who will communicate in a loving tone, who will help us grow. We need people in our lives where we do that for them, that we help them in these type of relationships. I mean, these are very personal, individual conversations that we're talking about. You know, throughout this whole series, we've been talking about the power of our words, how the words bring life or they bring death into our lives. And as we talk about this topic, I know for some of you, it brings up some old wounds that are there. There's been people in your life who used their words to hurt, to divide, to cause pain out of the wrong motives. There's things that were said to you, there were lies that were spoken over you that you believed, that have caused pain, that have become part of your identity. Or, for some of us, it was words that weren't spoken. Love that was withheld, encouragement never heard, that caused us to feel inadequate and insecure about who we are. And we've carried that pain, we've carried that baggage with us through the years. And those wounds, as they open up, and some of them become open and even more painful when we talk about them. Or some of us have buried it so deep that it's just, we don't even realize it's there until we talk about it. It's like, oh yeah, I've had this, been carrying this with me. We serve a God who is a healer. And every wound that we have, every hurt and every pain, He has the ability to heal it. And God desires for you to be healthy. He desires for you to be whole. And He wants to heal your heart. Our God has the ability to heal your body, your physical body, but He cares so much more about your heart and your soul. In His Word, He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, every pain, every hurt, every fear, in every situation, by prayer and petition, We thank God with thanksgiving. We present our requests to God. When we make a decision to give our anxieties, our pain, our fear, our hurt to Jesus, when we pray and we give it to Him through prayer, when we present ourselves to Him, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds. The word in the original Greek for their guard literally means a garrison, an army. And when we present ourselves to God, we present those hurts, those pains, those anxieties, when we bring it to Him, then He sends an army to guard our heart. An army of peace to protect our heart and our minds. The peace of God is a powerful thing. The peace of God is what allows us to enter into any difficult circumstance in life and still be full of joy when His peace guards our heart. I really, throughout this whole series, I want us to be a church and a people who love one another, who speak kind words, who speak life-giving words, but also I want us to be a people who have the peace of God ruling and reigning in our hearts. And how we do that is we bring our stuff to Him. We bring it to Jesus, and then we leave it with Him. Because some of us, we're good at bringing, God, here's what's going on, but then we kind of, I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to go stress out about it some more. We're supposed to bring it to God, and then leave. God, I trust You with this. I'm bringing this anxiety, I'm bringing this fear, I'm bringing this pain to You, and I'm saying, heal it, bring peace into my heart. You know, Paul wrote earlier, we read, he says, I'm sorry I sent that severe letter to you. I was sorry at first, but I'm not sorry because it caused you to repent and change your ways. Some of us, we've been headed down the wrong path and we need to repent and change our ways. We need to bring ourselves to Jesus and allow Him to heal our heart. Allow Him to forgive us and save us for eternity. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You have given us a church family that loves us, that cares about us. That even when we don't think there's people around us who love us, even when we think we're alone, that there's a church family who loves us and cares about us. God, I pray that You would give each one of us the strength and the wisdom to speak the truth in love to others when they need to hear it. Maybe even more so, I pray that each one of us would have a heart that is receptive to hear the truth. That we would invite people in into those type of relationships and that we'd grow to become more and more like You. God, I pray for everyone that through this series has experienced maybe some more hurt and pain from the past. That they've been holding on to some things that they just need to let go of and bring to You and leave it with You. I pray that right now in this moment, that we would present our requests to You. That we would bring our anxieties, bring our fears to You. We'd leave it with You. We'd trust You to take care of it. And that we would walk away from this place with Your peace, guarding our heart and our mind. I pray for anyone in here this morning who has not began a relationship with You, and you are, as you're tugging on their heart, I pray that they would make that decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you grab your orange connection card that is in your program this morning?